Good evening, everyone. It's Wednesday night, and it is 7 o'clock or so.
Yes.
We're late getting started, and Dan, we're up and running, right? Okay, good. Thank you. The reason that we're late is that we were listening. EJ was at dinner tonight, and he wanted to discuss the beginnings or the starting of an outline of the Easter workshop, which is about 10 days from now, not this coming weekend, but the following weekend. And he has posted on Gorbag's World the
14 points.
14 points that will be the model of how he's going to work in that workshop and everything that he needs to do. And he expanded on the tools that are available to everybody to work in that regard. So you might want to take a look at that and see if you can clear your space in 2 weekends from now to work with that grouping.
And he was downloading a little further after you and Ivan had come out here and gotten here on time, and Dan and I were still there. We had a explanation from him on several reasons why he is able, after 30 years with these various engines, to teach the blue lining now, whereas in the past he could do it himself, but it wasn't in a format that he could easily teach if he wasn't like right over your shoulder. And he's found a way to do that, and that's what he's presenting. So the Easter workshop is actually the culmination of many, many decades of a lot of hard work, and it's going to be easily accessible to folks because you don't have to have it mailed to you. It's going to be a download. So you're going to be able to share and go right along with everybody. You'll get the details on the blog, but I'm jazzed about it, as you can tell, because I'm not a blue liner. The pineal gland, yes, yeah. So anyway, there's a lot of wonderful stuff out there.
And Pat, do you need to tell the audience what blue lining is or what its role and purpose is?
Thank you. We all know.
Thank
you. The word blue lining actually references what used to be called drafting. Drafting was the method of creating the design on paper of something that you are going to create in 3D. The word blue lining refers to the use of computer programming to create in the virtual world. That's what it is. And further than that, I cannot go, but I can enjoy of others' labor.
So it's actually a technique where you actually build spaces using tools developed by, under the guidance of EJ, developed by Dick, Claude, and Barbara, which have an enormous reach for things that you can do. And the blue line also refers to the color of the lines of your design as you're creating a building or a suite of buildings, things like that. So it gives you the chance to become a builder, some of which you're doing under Claude's guidance on Saturday mornings in the ashram. This takes it to a different level with some great tools. And there's some other things that will be introduced that maybe are best left.
We'll leave the other stuff, but just to let people who have done some of the Saturday classes with Claude know, DJ said, if you can build in second life, this will be a breeze. It is so much simpler to do with using this engine and this editor. So,
as with many of the things that we've studied in this particular class and introductions that have happened with Claude on Thursdays and then on Sunday, the touring with Pat on the Patty Show, well, you start to learn techniques. EJ gives you these techniques in the blue lining. And with those techniques, then you're able to express your creativity in a very interesting manner. So check out the blog, which is Gorbag's World, and you'll see the 14 points, and you might start studying that and preparing yourself for the Easter workshop, most of which will be virtual. And there may be a few people that are joining here, and you'll probably have model overall guidance from EJ, and then a remarkable specific guidance from Claude, who's so good at teaching.
He's a wonderful tutor. He's
just
very,
any,
very
virtually
caring.
Anything. He goes with you where you need to be.
And I want to just highlight what Silverdale just did. And I'm not going to name it as a specific trait of groupness because we haven't come to it as a group yet. But I'm going to point out that this quality of Silverdale asking a question about a use of a word or a term in a context and making sure that everybody has heard and understood a definition that is useful to us in this context. And that characteristic of highlighting or emphasizing things that we need to go over again, that's a specific function in a group. And Silverdale, thank you again for your question. That was I wanted to bring that up tonight, and you just demoed it perfectly.
So we're all part of a group.
Yes, we are.
We're all part of a group. He knew that he understood the term for many years of work that he's been doing, but he knew that there were people that had been introduced to it. So he said, hey, let's stop for a second and define that term, because we all come together as a group. Early on, EJ used to say that one of the best elements of working in a group is in the group you always have to account for the weakest link in the group. Does that term make sense to everybody? Like you have a chain and it has a weak link, right? And he says, and the best technique for approaching that is to realize you are that weakest link. And so we move forward together. And so if there's something I don't understand, I'll ask Pat or Ivan, Silverdale, Harry, Dan, Marvette, and so I can get some guidance on how to move forward. So how are we doing over there, Dan? Are you okay to get going, keep going, or?
Comments.
Please.
Please.
Grocky.
Hey, Grocky.
Says, must keep doing other things, so we'll make my report now. Says, the very little I worked with the exercise of not using my when referring to the body or body parts, I found very powerful and freeing. It gave distance between myself and those things. And then I extended it to thoughts and feelings and even ego.
Better. Good.
The thought, the feeling, the ego, rather than my thought, my feeling, my ego. Found it all very useful, even joyful. Other than that, I found the first 10 pages a bit overwhelming and confusing and daunting.
Agreed.
And you just keep going, though. We keep going because part of the feeling of being overwhelmed and daunted by these things is allow that to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's okay. Just proceed. Because you have to ask yourself, as Rocky worked during the cycle, he worked with I am not that. He worked with it, not I. And he understood that it is always operating in its own way. So who is overwhelmed? Okay? So we're just in the experience of it.
Any more there, Dan?
Is Rocky still there?
He had to be awake.
Yeah, okay. I'll preview the exercise for next week, okay? Next week, go ahead and read the next 20 pages,
yes.
Which takes you to page 3. 1981, and in that there are a number, once again, a number of exercises that you'll see. I'm going to go through those later at the end of the class, what those exercises are. And what I'm interested in is different people picking up on different hints that are within this book that allow all of us to preview all the exercises.
Yes.
I know that Ivan's taken on one that I know I didn't do, and now Rocky took on one that is very important. So anyway, thanks for sharing that, Rocky, and I'm glad that I hope you got his book, right?
Yes.
Huh? He did get his book. Great.
Good.
Thank you, and I got that he's there.
Yeah,
I do know that. And Harry was generous and for helping a number of people,
yeah,
as usual.
Facilitated.
So, good. So that's working with the data. And now, when we read through those first 10 pages, we pop on that exercise. Now, somebody talked about it. Okay? So we have, like, one thread in the weave of the quilt. Right? One thread. And I was just wondering if anybody else did any of the exercises and how you'd like to approach it.
I'm going to make my second confession of the Volume 5 material. I did not do the exercise as we discussed last week. David is cringing up here. Just to, in case you can't see, his facial expression is like manifesting for us all, you know,
all the people
in a certain way. Yes, the previous week, I know I said something about something. Never mind what that was. This week, my experience was such that I did repeat reading the same number of pages that I had read before, which was 4. And I heard what people had said at the end of last week's class about the exercises they had found. And I heard mostly about writing it down. And so when I came to the point of discussion with myself about what I was doing, what I wrote down were the questions that I was going to attempt to ponder and answer for myself in the next week. It wasn't an exact statement from these chapters, but that's where I went with it. And I'm very tolerant with myself these days. I'm not strict about how I'm following or not following, but I'm acknowledging that it wasn't what was said.
Well,
so let me get to the thing.
Yeah.
The thing of writing it down meant that I pondered it enough to understand what I was asking for. And I made myself the list of the things that I wanted to know about. And yesterday, I answered one of those. So I had this, how do I proceed part at the first couple of days. And I was going, oh, other people are doing this specific, and I couldn't get there. So I did the what I had written down, and then I followed it up with doing something about it. So that was my exercise experience, which is not what we described, but it's what I did.
Well, what I was hoping for is that we didn't give the exercise, as we just said.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever occurs as you go through was what I was looking for. And here we have Pat, who does think outside the box. And so she found a different slant on it, and she brought that back to us. And I find that very useful, very helpful, and I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Dave, I'd like to throw my 2 cents in early. Last week, I had proposed the idea that rather than read the book literally, that is, all of us here tonight, 20 of us or so working together as a group, that perhaps this book could be a guide for internal group work dealing with the several different aspects of ourself, where we ourselves are the teacher and we're identifying various groups within ourselves. And so as I read these 10 pages again this week, I'd like to just offer some quick summaries of how this affected me, and warn you that going forward into the weeks ahead, this will be my approach or my contribution. So for example, in this first chapter, hold on just a sec. So in the first chapter, the work magnet, what I got out of this for myself is what, George, is at the heart of your aim, something that every part of yourself might be enlisted for, something your mind is stimulated by, something your feelings are passionate about, something that your body will cooperate in doing. So as I read this literally, of course, I might imagine all of us putting together a work group, but for myself personally, I think, okay, what self-perfecting, that's important to me. And so that becomes the object of the work magnet. In chapter 2, the three levels of work, it's important to have some background in fourth way theology, if I can call it that. Fourth way theology just says that there are three levels of data that we need to, over time, embody. First, exoteric information. Do you know something about the law of three or the law of seven and how these two might work together for our own personal benefit? If you can figure that out, then you're ready for mesoteric data, which is what I regard this book to be. Mesoteric data, well, this is how it might be applied on an individual basis. And so the reference in this particular chapter about exoteric data, mesoteric data, and of course esoteric data is what EJ works with. He really embodies that highest level. The third chapter, data absolute, is just a warning to us to make sure that we've properly understood the words we're using. We're not talking about meat dragons. We're talking about, we're not talking about meat wagons. We're talking about some other kind of a dragon. And so, you know, it's just within my own personal group work within myself. Do you understand what blue lining is and what its specific application is and what its practical use and value is? So, you know, just understanding that data absolute is. And then the fourth chapter, Burning Bridges, is for me just a reminder. Listen, George, in order to pursue one objective, you have to make a choice to pursue it, and in choosing it, you actually have to give up other things. If you want to become enlightened, you can't spend the rest of your life being a drunk alcoholic. You know, it just doesn't. Those two are incompatible. So that's how I'm applying this group material for myself. And
thank you.
Go ahead, Dan.
We have some more comments. Madera says, "I did what are examples of burning bridges to organic destinies, and tried to think of what those destinies could be." Muscle Spark says, "Wrote a list of things I know nothing about for a relatively short period of time. Could have gone on much longer."
What did it feel like when? What was the mood when you were writing that down, Tom? What was it? What is? Just literally, when you.
You're asking Muscle Spark or me?
Yeah. No, Muscle Spark.
Yes.
What was it like when you were? Had the blank sheet of paper in front of you and started writing down. What was it like? There's a lag.
Yeah, there is a lag. There's an answer.
And we have a comment from DePaul. Completely forgot until yesterday when I got an email from Pat about something else. I found the book and read the first, last, and skimmed the middle. I was shocked how much was in those 10 pages.
Yeah.
David, I'll here to
go ahead, you're
share.
Up.
Well, I've always placed great value on the law of parsimony and keeping things as simple as possible. So I looked at. Can you hear me properly?
Computer on. Somebody's got their.
Is your computer
on? Somebody on the phone has their volume up on their computer.
I can hear it myself.
Is your computer off?
Oh, indeed.
My sound is off. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Is anybody else online on the phone? Okay. Go ahead, Harry.
Try again, Harry.
Take another shot at it.
Okay, well, I look at three levels of worth. I is the only discernible something which is not material. Of course, I have to listen to myself on that echo. I is here now. I am it. So when I say I had better mean I and not it, or else I delay my awakening awareness whereby I cause myself to feel remorse. So I mean, I fashion the sticks which I am beaten.
Okay, good. That's a good one.
So anyway, I discovered that this is not an instance of an observing witness, which is pretty much how where I ended up after we finished our last book on the invocation of presence. A witness seeing all that is happening to me as if I were somehow suspended in space. Seeing it, meaning it being anybody else, everybody else over there, and I over here. We're a group, so I thought we have to be somehow not subject-object relations. So on one occasion about 3 days ago, I was wrestling with this, and I said, that kind of subject-object kind of orientation, it just struck me as the most important point completely, that I am all of this, not just the so-called screen upon which the group is playing, but all the images that are there too, and all the experiences that are projected on it. So if it's only for a moment, I experience what EJ, I think, meant when he said, if I recall this correctly, there is no image, there is no reflection, there is only the mirror, and we cannot see it. So for a brief moment, and I'm grateful for this experience, and it's indelibly imprinted upon my memory, I did not want anything.
So you did not?
That was I did not want anything. It was an extraordinary experience.
Did not want anything.
That is correct.
So that he busted into that space where he could see, I do not want anything.
It poked. I hit into a different space, and I'm very grateful for it.
Already. Good.
So, Harry, can I just ask you, it took the, I'm going to use a word in an objective fashion here. It took the suffering of the 3 days to draw near to the place where you could approach what did eventually occur. Do I have that correct?
Yes, and it didn't occur as a result of my efforts. I had just kind of taken a respite from the efforts, and it just suddenly dawned on me.
Thank you.
You're opening spaces with an intention. The space opens, and a process occurs.
Yeah, and it's not direct quid pro quo or whatever the Latin words are for if I do this then that will happen. No, not that.
Yeah.
It's efforts
and it
made.
It wasn't I and objects out there. There wasn't a dualism involved. It just suddenly melded together and presented itself to me. And it was kind of like a present being given to me.
Could I ask you one more question about this without reveling in the beauty of that experience? Would you describe the method of formulation that you used for yourself with the question that allowed you to get there? Not the actual specific question, but the manner in which you came to it.
Well, I mean, EJ says here in chapter 2 on page 5, and he talks about, well, where this is work on groups, right at the very first of the book, it must be important about the difference between I and it and noticing this. So I said, well, there's the I here. Is that all of us, or is all the little hits out there the group? So I was wrestling with this and just sitting with this information. And after wrestling with it for a while, I took a break, and I had this experience. It was a personal experience. I don't know if it's true or not. It's just what I experienced, and it was It had a very big, different quality to it.
I hear the word remorse at one point.
Yes, I had written that down here in my notes. That is, if I don't distinguish between I and it, that this is going to generate remorse. Because this new experience had no remorse in it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. On page 5, he also says, one single harmless self-punishment will serve to remind us that I is not it.
So well, that was exactly where I started from. That is, what is this punishment? And then it is its own punishment. It's a realization that that I have done this to myself.
Okay. How are we doing over there, Dan?
Thank you.
Anyway, that was my experience. Hope it helps.
Yes.
Russell Sparks has put his reply in. He says, like a little kid.
I don't know anything.
So many unexplored areas that others have experience in.
So partly an interesting thing, aspect of that, that he's telling us is that you're kind of sitting in the state of wonder. You're like in the childhoodness of wonder about these things. Can you read what Vidara said again, please?
Yes. She said, I did what are examples of burning bridges to organic destinies and tried to think of what those destinies could be. And Nepal continued, he said, I worked very briefly with the non-identification of the machine. It is a launch pad.
Nice. Evan?
Yeah, I guess I'd like to contribute that along with Muspel Spark, I sat down and started writing down what things I don't know. And I thought, oh, this is going to be an easy exercise because there's tons and tons of things I don't know. You know, I could start with molecular biology or astrophysics and mathematical biology or whatever. And then, you know, I realized it's actually, it could be a much more challenging exercise than that. Because it may not just be a mental exercise or an intellectual kind of question as to what I know and don't know. But, you know, the thing that struck me about it, which I wanted to bring to this group, I really appreciate the work that people are doing. I mean, hearing about the application of these suggestions or teachings of EJ's and what people are doing with them, but just trying this one exercise for me, what it reminded me of is that in the way that just a few weeks ago, you know, David asked us all to work with the invocation of presence exercise, and as part of self-remembering, in a sense, to remember everybody else in the group also invoking presence, to think of ourselves as doing this as part of a larger group exercise in a larger circle. And it struck me with this particular exercise that this may not be true of everything, you know, that we've read so far, everything we're going to read in this book, but I think that there are going to be some of these exercises that because EJ gave them to a group, and that group undoubtedly undertook, you know, very likely took it on as an obligation and did that exercise, it's going to be quite different if everybody in a circle does the same exercise at the same time. I think that there's a big force, there's a leverage that comes from that, and to come back and say, and then share what are the cognitions or what are the experiences and so on of applying the same exercise. And so I'm just, maybe I'm going along the lines of, I think it was Soham that brought this up last week. Do we want to establish guidelines or something, you know, for how we're going to approach this book? And I'm just suggesting from past experience with EJ's exercises that, you know, okay, another way of saying this is, I'm going to continue. I'm going to do some more work on this, writing down what I don't know. But I'm not so sure that I want to report the results to this group, because there's a way in which, you know, what EJ says, for me to tell other people, oh, this is the cognition I got, this is what I got at the end of this exercise, then everybody, all of you who are listening might say, oh, well, now I don't need to do that exercise, or maybe if I do that exercise, I'll get the same cognition. And it's, in a sense, it's like influencing you or biasing you in a certain direction when you do the exercise. So I'm just going to recommend that I think we could try to distinguish as we read these chapters. There may be certain exercises that we could really learn something special and profit a lot by all doing the same exercise. Like as with the Big 24. Isn't that how you work with the Big 24?
That's how we worked with that, yeah.
And I'm going to launch in here in my fashion. What?
Can I say something?
Oh, please do.
In relation to what Ivan was saying, there's another one, another aspect that he didn't mention, which Claude has brought up from time to time, which is that if you have a preconception of what the exercise is supposed to accomplish, then if you don't accomplish that, you think you haven't done it right, or that it's failed, or in some way you end up dismissing it. When in reality you may be having a completely different result and you're not recognizing it because of that preconception. So it is best to start without a bias of what you, or an expectation.
Yes. That is essentially what I'm saying. You know, let's say it's like if we, I think that it might be the province of a study circle to say, oh, look at all these wonderful exercises that EJ's given. I think this exercise will lead to this great cognition, and this other exercise will lead to this learning, and this is some kind of, look at this enlightenment experience EJ is recommending from this exercise. But this is all mental. This is a study circle which you could go on for years and remain mental. And I think that the work aspect of it is actually to go out as you do with the Big 24, is whether you spend a week or 2 weeks or whatever the agreed period of time, you say, okay, I'm going to apply this, and now I'm going to see what is actually happening if I use this in my life, if I'm walking around, I'm doing a walking meditation, I'm doing it as a walking exercise, a daily exercise.
Part of the preconception, just to stay on that pattern, is the preconception is cleansed by actually doing the exercise. Okay, so like, for instance, if you actually do the exercise, write down what you don't know. For me, when I first started on that, I'm just going to share a couple of things, that it was, I started thinking of the external topics that I don't know. But where it really led me to was that I don't know who I am. And so it helped me then, after going through that meditation, which I realized in the midst of doing the exercise wasn't important to me.
Mm-hmm.
And it just said, what is important? And that's when self-reflection started. So, go ahead, Dan. Anybody else?
Just Pianjo saying, great idea, Ivan. I in this context, I'd say that David's right about the, doing exercise cleanses the palate, so to speak. But what Claude was actually referring to is he had people who were doing his exercises, such as in the Just Because Club,
yeah,
and who came back and told them that it didn't work. And then when they asked them to describe what they experienced, they were describing all kinds of results that were very Bardo-esque, but they didn't recognize it as such because they had something in mind that it had to be like.
And we're going to get into that in the next, when we I go quickly through the next 20 pages, and there's a particular element that's going to address that. Thank you.
So I'm back to my little odd quirk here. I believe that the purpose of this particular volume is for our group at this time is to discover what it is that will produce the group. And I say that in an objective manner, meaning that groupness exists,
wow,
and we have touched it at previous times, and also we will touch it again, but we don't actually have a way yet of quantifying it. And the purpose that we are using this book for is to help us as group recognize what contributes to group and what seems to be required in order for group to appear. One thing we've identified already because of past experience with all this material over many years is that a scribe is a requirement. You just really can't do well group work without scribeness of some kind. And I earlier this evening noted that there is a function, which is, I don't know how to say it better, the come along. Let me bridge the gap between what you may or may not know about what we're talking about by asking a question. That's what Silverdale demonstrated so nicely. He didn't say, well, what do you mean? No, he said, you know, for people who might not know, what would blue line mean? What would blue lining refer to? So those are two functions that we know exist. Also, the gentleman last week, and I can't remember his name, from India, he mentioned maybe there are some rules that we establish. And one of those things that David is going to put forward now is a way that we're going to try to bring more unified focus. So he's going to show us a method of doing that now, and then we're going to take that a little bit further. So I'm done.
Yeah. So one of the things I want to say to Marvette is an element of groupness that Pat is revealing again is the process of asking questions into the group.
Mm-hmm.
That's an element, an important element of what is a group. No purpose needed at the moment. It's just in the invocation of what the group is at the time. When you ask a question into the group, there's so many elements that come alive at that point. There's a certain trust factor, for instance, that arises. There's a courage factor. And one thing, there's another very hidden factor about the machine versus the essential self, which will uncover itself in time. Okay? So I think of these exercises as a form of weaving. We are quilt makers. We don't know what the quilt is going to look like. I've never been in a quilting circle, but I don't know that they know what it's going to look like. You know, they just start working together on different parts. We're in the same boat. How are we doing over there, Dan? Does anybody else like to share before we go on to the next? Pardon? Okay. So why don't we just, we're just going to, so the next, I don't know, I'm coming up with these things and we're going to do another exercise. The next exercise is read the next 21 pages. So you read from page 11 to 31 in this particular book. Now, I've gone through and I've just made marks. Now, here's going to be an interesting thing. You don't have a pen with you, Pat, but I'm going to give you mine and this piece of paper.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you can, and anybody that has a pen and paper or just notation, I'm going to read rapidly through. I'm just going to flip through the 20 pages in a sense the way that Silverdale flipped through the first four chapters for us. So right now I'm on the book. I'm on page 11. And now I turn to page 12. And on page 12, there's the comment. Anything can be learned in 1 week if we know how to learn. What an audacious statement he has made there. However, when I look at the way EJ presents skill after skill after skill, and then individuals like Claude absolutely starts becoming an expert at it. So my question there is, if you were to select something to learn, what would it be? Now I'm on page 14, chapter number 7, on mediums. Are you a medium? You have to read out what does it mean to be a medium on page 14. Are you a medium from time to time? Can you see the medium from time to time? Page 15, which is the two-legged cows, and it's, read the thing, it discusses barriers, name some barriers, okay? Then now I'm coming to page 17, we're on chapter 9, which is doggy talk, and I'm reading on the very last paragraph of that page 17, and it says, we can have cookies, candy, ice cream, and cake, but not like a dog. A dog has not self-esteem, but egoism. Self-esteem means an impartial measure of one's value, one's work, exercise of one's own value. Can you discern three objective elements of value that you have? Can you discern three objective shortcomings that you have?
First one was?
Can you discern three objective values, skills, values? Okay. And that's repeated on page 18, page 19. Page 19 is on asking questions, and it's very interesting to read that chapter. But ask a question. You know, one of the great efforts that EJ presented to us in the early years when I got here, and Pat and I, that remembers them distinctly, is you had a birthday question. And the power of the space in which it occurred challenged you. People would go to other colleagues and say, okay, how do I formulate my question? What should I say? I need to ask. Here's what I'm thinking about. They'd really take the time because there's a formality of process. When you come into this space, you're on your best game. What is the question you're going to ask into the group? Huh? Okay. That's 19. Page 21, there's the chapter 11, and there's an interesting dead exercise, which if somebody did, Pat and I can expand it into the dropping facial mask and FOG. Okay? Later. page 23, chapter 12 is on manners. A school has a certain atmosphere, an atmosphere of banishing. I'd like you to discuss what does it mean to invoke an atmosphere of banishing. It's very specific. Okay. And then, if somebody has the courage to do it, is to practice being in the space of banishing in different locales, in different situations. Make sense?
Without manifesting any differently than you normally do.
Correct.
That's very important. These are all things to take with your grain of salt, that you're out there in the world with the other human beings. You do not ever want to draw attention to yourself in this manner. Understood?
I don't understand. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I don't understand what your last comments about that. An atmosphere of banishing I can relate to, but practicing it in such a way that I don't understand that last comment.
If you go back to chapter 1 and the commentary that George had about this idea of the magnetic work center, a magnetic center, if I am in the place, I'm not going to define banishing at all here or what it means. If you can find what that is for yourself and then take it out into the world and see what its effect has.
Okay, I'm with you.
Outward manifestation.
Yeah.
That's what I'm
saying. Right.
No external outward. What's that?
Without drawing attention to yourself.
Thank you.
But you will draw attention.
You do draw attention, but not the kind that we normally see.
So then on page 27, as we move along very rapidly, on that particular chapter called Mood, Movement, and Meditation, on page 27 toward the bottom, and Silverdale, here he's talking about a 10-year program, which we've talked about. And there he says, in which one forms a group of individuals of similar attainment and all to in which the group is seeking mastery of feeding the solar entities. The heck is that? Okay. And that's all I got.
Oh, yeah?
So
Silverdale can answer that for us.
All we're doing is just kind of reading out those exercises. Did anyone particularly hit you? When we, I think we, one of the classes we talked about creating Bardo Town.
Yes.
EJ, it was just a spectacular event. It took for a long, long time, and Claude was just remarkable. He built everything. Anyway, in addition to the incredible work of building it, EJ then used the pinhole camera to take hundreds of photographs. Do you remember that, Ivan?
Oh, yes.
Hundreds of shots. And he would do an exercise with, I don't know, maybe with others, but he did it with me 2 or 3 times because I was working with the deck of images.
Right.
Quite a bit. I was doing something. And he would just say, so just imagine a deck of 100 cards which have these beautiful images on it. And he'd flip through them. He says, tell me when to stop. So it's just going, brrrr, and you could do it. And it was clear and distinct, and then he'd hand me that card. So that's the same thing that we're doing here. I just read off a bunch of stuff, right?
Yep.
If any of them connect for you, grab it. That's all.
Will you post those somewhere?
I can post them. Well, I don't remember what. Oh no, I do know what I said because I wrote them well.
I'm just saying I'm going to miss next week and the following.
I'll post them, Ivan. I'll post them on the. Yeah.
Well, the other question for me is, I know we're at time here, but
that's for Ivan.
Do we have anyone in the group right now who's currently online who would want to take on one or more of these questions just from hearing David say them?
That's right.
And if so, do you want to let us know now as a way for the group to kind of hold that for you
as
we go into this next week? Because I tell you, one of the things that happened to me last week's class, there was this lovely thing that Silverdale said and other people said. I went with that through my week to remind myself about what I was trying to do just this book and those exercises. So if anyone wishes to say that into the chat room now, I'm just going to mention that I am doing the one that's on asking questions, because it struck me that if I was to, this is how I feel about it, honor this group with trusting them to allow me to ask the group a question, that would be the way that I want to address this. So I'm going to pick the one that's on page 19. We've referenced the birthday question, so I'm going to use the what are you going to ask the group as my formulation for this exercise this week.
I remember back when we were working in a different manner, and I'll never forget like working with Menlo, a group of us would often meet over there at the Szechuan, and you'd ask this guy a question, and he would listen with everything to your question. He'd just hear it. It's like he was listening underneath the rug, and then you know, conversation would start. It was just very, very nice. So, anyway, there we are.
It's amazing to speak here.
Anything else at the moment? We started late. Dan.
Gavalt says, I would like to work with the banishing exercise. Muspelspark says, banishing without attracting attention to oneself.
Very interesting.
And Videra says, I would like to work with banishing as well.
Yeah, she'll do good
at
that.
Thank you.
Everybody will be good, but I thought of that. Of her when I was reading it earlier, specifically. So, it's called banishing. I'll tell you.
And then Eric Brummel says, I would like to work with learning something in a week.
Hey, Eric, good. Very potent.
Yeah.
Which he's demonstrated, by the way,
yes,
over the years, his ability to do that. I'm not going to say mine at the moment. Thank you for, so think of that. Now there's 3, 4 now that have spoken in plus 5. So right now in my brain, those individuals are in my head.
Yeah, we're with you.
And it's like I'm thinking, oh, I'm going to watch these people during the week, whatever that means.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But it created a little web, a little thread of connectivity.
And the other thread is, if anyone has noted, in addition to what we've already said this evening, a quality, a trait, a function of groupness that they want to make sure that we jot down and record, the notebook that Marvette is recording in is our rough notes, our working draft. It is not final. It doesn't have to be perfectly stated. I'm just reading the notes of the ones that we did last week. And, you know, they're not...
formulated.
They're not exactly right, but I'll read them to us all are in the same place, the group has to have a common understanding of what the assignment is. Agreement. This are our understandings to get clarification. Secondly, communication is an essential tool of a group. Note, work on the development of group communication, which we all do. That's why we come together. And three, a purpose of a group is to become aware and know what you don't know. Note, you can't discover that alone. So those were the ones that were jotted down last week. There will be some other ones tonight. So people are welcome to, invited to, shout and add to
that. Add to that. In about 2 or 3 weeks, I'll start a page on the elements of a group. I'm not quite ready for that yet. And it'll be on under workup groups on Wings of Chaos. Comments, suggestions, proposals. Yeah.
Any more there, Dan?
Okay, good. Well, thank you for coming this evening, and we'll look forward to seeing you next week at 7 o'clock. Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.